Happy Mother's Day. It is great to see you all here this morning. Let's take a moment to pray, and we will dive into our message for the morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for all of your blessings. We thank you for the way that you love us and the way that you have blessed so many of us to have wonderful mothers. Lord, we ask that you would help us to really thoroughly and deeply fall more in love with you because of our mothers. That our mothers as image bearers of you would point us to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sure some of you are probably a little bit surprised because if you've thought back to previous Mother's Days, this is the first one since I've been pastor here that I've actually preached on mothers on Mother's Day. I've talked a little bit about them. I've thanked God for them. But generally, we go straight through books of the Bible and Christmas and Easter are pretty much the only things we take breaks for. But it worked out well, and God laid it on my heart today to be talking about mothers and how they bear the image of God. We live in a time where we are very much pulled by two opposite directions when it comes to our view of women. And I'll tell you right now that neither of those two opposites are biblical. We have the idea of chauvinism, which is on one side, and that's pulling us, telling us that women are less worth than men, that men are to treat women as objects. And then we have the other side, which is feminism. Despite what many of you heard, feminism is not biblical. What we see instead is that God has made men and women to be complements to each other. That God has made us different, both in his image. I don't have the passage up there for this one, but if we look at Genesis 3, which has the fall of mankind, towards the end of it, we look and we see where God is calling and talking to Adam and Eve and the serpent, and he is declaring their punishment, declaring what is going to happen as a result of their sin. When we look at what he says to Eve is that your desire will be for your husband. Now, what that does not mean is that she's going to want her husband and love him dearly. Instead, what that means is that she is going to want her husband's position. That she is going to, even though she is made in the image of God, even though God loves her, even though he has created her uniquely as a woman, what she is going to desire to be is a man. I've often heard things said where they have talked about the inequality between men and women, and one of the things I hear said more times than I care to admit I've heard it said, is that women will not be equal until they can walk around with a short shirt and a beer belly and still think they're sexy. Now, what I want you to understand is that the desire in finding equality is not to pursue the other gender's sin. That makes us equally condemned in God's eyes, not equal in dignity, value, and worth. And so we will look forward to Genesis 1:27. And this is a passage that I really want you to see. And if you have the Pew Bibles are there in front of you. It is on page 1. Fairly simple to find. Page 1. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. One of the things that we see, one of the things that we look at is that mankind, men and women, are both made in the image of God. And what we see as we look at that, as we see what God is doing in our lives, is that God is neither male nor female. Now, some of you are looking at this and saying, well, Scripture says to call God Father. Yes, absolutely. We are to call God Father. But calling him Father has less to do with him being male and more to do with understanding and recognizing the authority of God. Now, I don't want to go to the other extreme, to the extreme where God is man and woman, and then we get into goddess worship and all that junk, and no. We must understand that God is masculine in that he is God the Father, that he has the authority. But as we look at femininity and masculinity, we must understand that both come and bear the image of God. That the masculinity and femininity are both ways that complementary people are to reflect who God is in and of himself. And so one of the things that I want you to see, men, as you look and as you're taught to be chauvinist, I want you to recognize that when it talks about mankind being created in the image of God, it says both male and female. And so what I want you to see is that women are image bearers of God. And what I want you to do is I want you men who have been raised in chauvinism, who have been raised to not value women, I want you to lift women up. I want you to love women. I want you to respect women, not because they are women, not because they are men, but because they are an image bearer of God. Women, what I want you to see as we look at the fact that God has made us both male and female in his image is that when women reject femininity for masculinity, what they are doing is saying, God, you did a mistake when you made me who I am. Now, God doesn't make mistakes. Men and women are equal in dignity, value, and worth. We are different. We are made to complement each other, just the way that the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit complement each other. And so as we look at this, as we look at the fact that motherhood is a reflection of who God is, we have a few passages that I want us to go over. If you'll turn with me to Matthew 23, verse 37. That's on page 538 in your pew Bibles. Matthew 23, verses 37. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. What we see here is an aspect in which mothers are reflecting the character of God. We see this picture. We see of a mother hen wanting to go and rescue and protect and bring in close the children. And what we see is motherhood. Mothers reflect the image of God when they want to gather their children, when they want to hold their children, protect their children, shelter their children. I think that this is something that is so beautiful. As we look at Jesus, as we look at the character of God, that there are aspects that even though Jesus is male, that there are aspects in which those of you who are mothers, those of you who are fierce mama bears, that you guys reflect the image of God as you care for, as you protect, as you shelter your children. And one of the things I want us to do as we focus on mothers, as we view mothers today, the things that we must begin to do is we must begin to say, how do mothers point me to Jesus? How do mothers point me to God? How is my mother an image bearer of God? How, when I see my mother, is she a reflection of God? Now, some of you may not have been as fortunate as I am to have a wonderful mother. Granted, she's made mistakes, but she has been a wonderful mother, and I've also been blessed with a wonderful stepmother as well. And I thank God for them, but some of you may not have been as blessed as I am in that regard. And so what I want you to do is not say, you know what, I had a cruddy mother, and I can't see God because I didn't have a cruddy mother. What I want you to see and make your decision is, I will be a parent, I will be a mother like God cares for his children. Wants you to look and see fellow believers who love their children and say, I will love children like that. Whether you have the blessing of being able to physically become a mother or adopt children or have nieces and nephews or just be around children in our sanctuary, you can be a mother to someone. God is calling you to care for someone the way a mother cares for a child, because in doing that, you are following Jesus. And if we remember back to our purpose for why our church exists to follow Jesus and love people. And loving on children, caring for people, behaving like a mother, drawing people in, sheltering people, is following Jesus. And so no matter what life circumstances you have had, I want you all to realize that God is in some way, shape, or form calling you to follow him and be caring and loving like a mother is caring and loving for her children, and like God is caring for us as his children. Turn with me now to Isaiah 49, verses 15 and 16. It's page 394 in your pew Bibles. Can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. As we look, as we hear the prophet speaking the words of God, what we realize, what we see is that one of the most amazing, beautiful reflections of the unending love of God is a mother's love. And I know some of you are going to say, you know what, I watch the 5 o'clock news. I hear about mothers who forget about their nursing children, who leave their children to distress, who don't care for their children. And you're going to say, how does that reflect the love of God? And what Isaiah is speaking from God here is that love that we see is a pale reflection of the love that God has for you. And even if human mothers can forget and stop caring about their children, which is really hard for most of them to do, it's quite frankly impossible for most. But even though some do, God still loves you. So much so that it says that he has engraved you on the palms of his hands. We see this in Jesus. We see the sacrifice that Jesus has made, and what has happened is he has engraved us in the palms of his hands through nails that were shoved into him through the most sensitive nerve endings of his body. It is through that that we are engraved on his hands, that we are loved, that we are understood, that we are able to be adopted as the children of God. God loves us so much. Just like a mother who is willing to step in front of their children when danger is near, even if it will cost them their life, that is what Jesus did for us. He loves us so, so much. I know that normally I do the longer section of passage at the beginning, but I wanted to bring that up more towards the middle today. I don't know if you have ever heard the phrase, a Proverbs 31 woman. It is the woman that King Solomon's mother says, this is the kind of woman that you want to marry. Now, if only King Solomon had listened to that, and instead of having hundreds of wives and hundreds more of concubines, he may have wound up in a better place. But Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10, it says, an excellent wife who can find? She is more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Now, I know that this is a long passage, but it is one of the most encompassing passages about what God wants women to be like. And I could do an entire series on this passage, but I am going to hit just a couple of key points. Her children rise up and call her blessed. One of the things that we see is that the woman that is following after the heart of God when it comes to her children grow up and say, "Man, it was amazing what God did through her. It has been amazing to see her grow, to see how she helped me grow in Jesus." And that her husband also praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all, in verse 29, is what the fathers say. What the husbands say. And what I want you to see is, men, you guys need to stand up and start praising the women that are in your life for what God is doing in them. I know that it's easy, whether we're husbands or whether we're wives, to look at our spouse and say, "Man, they don't do this and they don't do that, and this is frustrating, and man, I just want to smack them," and I mean, all that stuff. But what I want you to see is that one of the things that will draw your wife, your daughters, your sisters out to be the women that God is calling them to be is God using you to encourage them. God using you to search out and find, even when those times find something that is good about that person and call it up out of them. Some days are going to be easier than others, but it's what God is calling you as men to do. And I know that some of you men might have checked out a little bit because it's a Mother's Day sermon and it's all about mothers and blah, blah, blah. And I come to support my woman and that's it. But I want you to understand, I want you to grasp that what God is calling you to be is an encouragement and a blessing to the ladies in your life that God has given you. Whether it's your wife, whether it's your daughters, whether it's your sisters, whether it's your mothers, God is calling you men to be encouragements. And to encourage godly things, not just what the world says makes a good woman, but what the Bible says makes a good woman. What are the characteristics that the Bible talks about being blessed feminine characteristics that reflect the character and the love of our Almighty God, in whom both men and women were made in the image of? No matter what, I think if we truly allow our hearts to comprehend the scriptures and to process what God is challenging us with today, there it would be really easy for us to say, God, I have failed. How could you ever use me? And what I want you to see is that God knew that you had failed long before you were ever born. And still, he chose to die on the cross for our sins. Just like a mother would jump in front of a bullet to save our lives, Jesus jumped in front of that bullet. He was taken up on that cross, and he died in our place. We are engraved on his hands, and that our names will not be removed from him for eternity, because he has loved us. What he's calling us to do, he's saying, stop being the wayward children. Return to me like you would return to a loving mother who will love you no matter what. Of course, I'm disappointed with you at times, but I love you and will welcome you back no matter what. That is the love of our Savior Jesus Christ, the love of a mother. And I want you mothers to know, and we saw a lot of you stand up. It was like half the congregation that was here. You are made in the image of God, and your being a mother reflects him and his love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to come and to worship you and to understand you better. Lord, help us to fall in love with you, and also help us as we begin to grasp the maternal nature that you have, as we begin to grasp the way you love us as mothers. Also help us to continue to remember your love as Father and the fact that we can and should submit to you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.